Today's Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Then God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident of your towns. For in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor." The word of the God.
Let's all take a deep breath. Everybody do that. Why don't you just take a moment? If you haven't had a deep breath yet this morning, take one right now. That'd be a good time to do that. Just relax, right? It's the Sabbath. It's a day of rest, a day of blessing, a day of holiness. And that's what it was explained to us in that Ten Commandments. And in Genesis, we read that. And we've been talking about this sermon series called Still Waters, which are these practices that help still our souls in the midst of a stressed out world. And this idea of Sabbath is also about being still, isn't it? About ceasing from things. And we're going to talk about that this morning. Last week we talked about vending machines. This week I want to talk about artillery. Okay, are you with me on that? Okay. The U.S. Army did a study with artillery crews. And they took two artillery crews and they said to this, for the next 3 days, they said to the first artillery crew, for the next 3 days, we want you to shell this target and hit the target as many times as possible over that 3 days. And you guys work nonstop for the next 3 days and hit that tank or whatever the target was as often as you can. And so that crew was set aside. Then they took another crew, a second crew, and they said to the saint, they said, for the next 3 days, we want you to hit that target as often as you can and hit it as many times as you can over the next 3 days. And they also asked them to do one other thing. And they said, the other thing we want you to do is periodically, we want you to take a nap. We want you to rest. And so they put the two crews to work, and they began shelling their targets. And day one, the first crew that wasn't, they had hit more targets than the second crew. On day two, the second crew caught up and actually passed them in the number of targets they were hitting on day two. And on day three, the nappers, the ones that were taking a rest, far exceeded the effectiveness of the first crew. You may have heard the expression sharpening the saw, that if you're cutting wood, if you don't take time out to sharpen the saw and you just work with a dull, you're actually working harder because you haven't sharpened the saw. Well, God designed us to take breaks. God designed us to take a break, to take a rest. God designed us to need to rest because, you know, you and I are real good at managing our schedules, aren't we? We're very time conscious, correct? We've got our schedules. How many people have a calendar at home that they have stuff written down on? How many people have a to-do list that's waiting? Yeah, everybody's got that, right? We manage our time. But the question that the Army raises, and I think that the question that the Sabbath raises, is do we manage our energy? Do we manage our output of energy, not just time? And some things take more energy than others. not just time. You can spend, there's a difference there. And so God knew that about us when God created us. God knew we needed 8 hours of sleep every night. God knew that we'd need a day off. God knew that we'd need to rest. And so this idea of Sabbath is one of the big ten. You know, there's lots of commands in the Bible. There's lots of things that God asks us to do, but these are the Ten Commandments. You know what we call the Big Ten, right? And how many of us here would kill somebody? You know, we wouldn't, I don't see any murderers out here that I, you know. We wouldn't go out and bear false witness in a courtroom. I don't see any folks like that. I don't see anybody here that would steal anything. Yet how many of us kind of look at the commandment of Sabbath and go, eh, not really that important? How many of us have broken the Sabbath? Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, you know, we're praised in this culture. We're praised for working hard and overworking and working more. And this is the one place where people are going to say, hey, if you're working hard and you're working 60, 70, 8 hours a week, good, great job. Nobody ever comes along and says, hey, you know, have you taken a day off? Have you taken a break? You're working too hard. You're working too much. I don't think God's commanding us to be lazy. That's not the point. God said, do all your work in 6 days. You can't be lazy to do that, can you? But God said, take this day and set it aside for yourself, for God. Take this commandment seriously. It's a day of rest, a day to cease from work, really to cease from our work, whatever that work is for us. It's different for each of us, but it's a day to cease from work. And this presents a challenge for us because one of the reasons that God rested was because God had completed the work. And I think we struggle with that, don't we? Because the work never seems to be completed. Isn't that part of the issue? I mean, how many people have a pile of laundry waiting at home? Yeah. It's not, that pile of laundry just never seems to go away. How many people have dishes in the sink piled up from the weekend? Yeah, it just seems to never go away. How many weeds are we starting to notice in the mulch beds outside our homes? And we're looking at the grass starting to grow and we're thinking, oh, I got to get the lawnmower out. And it's not going to stop. And if it's not the grass, it's the snow. But see, things never seem complete. And then you're at work. If you go to work and there's always that project that's not complete, there's always those emails that are piling up in our boxes that haven't been answered. And we have to answer them. You know, AOL, remember AOL? I know I'm dating myself here. Actually, 10 years ago, they did a survey of the email use. 47% of email users checked work-related email while they were on vacation. 26% confessed that they did it every day on vacation. Now think about that. What is it that's making us go back to work when we're on vacation? What is it that's going on inside of us that says, oh, I've got to check my email. I've got to get touch base with work. I've got to find out what's going on with that project or this thing or that thing. I've got to know what's going on. I've got to keep track. What creates that within us? That feeling of it's just not complete. There's more to get done. There's more that has to happen. In Japan, there's a word that I mentioned in a pastor's ponderings a couple weeks ago called kairoshi. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. But it means in Japanese, death from overwork. And they've actually been doing studies and tracking this since the 1980s in Japan. And they've tracked this. And they estimate that about 10,000 people a year die from work-related stress or overwork. And if you know anything about Japanese culture, you also know that, you know, there are folks that leave their homes on the weekend and go into the main city and they sleep in these little cubicles during the week and go back to, they'll work all day into the night, go sleep in a cubicle, get up again and do it again, and they'll do this. And they found that about 10,000 people actually suffer from heart attacks, stress, high blood pressure, strokes because of all the work that they're doing. Working 60, 70, 80 hours a week. week in and week out, and that this actually is killing them. And I thought about that, and you know the United States doesn't do that. Not many countries actually track that. Japan is one of the few countries that does that. Now, I want to take a guess at who works actually more hours on average per week than the Japanese? Us, yeah. We work more. We work more. We were just amazed at the tragedy and the thousands of lives lost in an earthquake, and they've been saying we've been losing thousands of lives every year because we work too much. Think about the Chinese symbols. I know some of our Chinese friends here can also share this, but the word busy in Chinese is a combination of two symbols, and the two symbols are heart and killing. The word busy in Chinese is heart killing. I don't know about you, but when we're real busy and overwhelmed, doesn't it feel like it's killing your heart? It's zapping something out of you? And that's what God says, you know, that's a sign for us that we need to take a rest, that we need to take a break, that we can't just keep going and going and going. You and I are finite human beings. We are limited in the amount of energy we have. We are limited in the day. We have a 24-hour day, 7 days a week, and God said, just take one and rest. Cease from work. Cease from the to-do list. Cease from all the things that need to get done. And God did this not for God's benefit, but for our benefit. Jesus said in Mark chapter 2, he said, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. This idea, this command is not for just a regulation for us to keep, but it's actually something that's beneficial for us as human beings. God says, this is something that's good for you, to rest, to cease from work. The other thing that God said about this day was not only did God say it's a day to rest, but God also said this was a day of blessing. God blessed the day. It's interesting because all the other 6 days at the end of creation, God says this is good, this is good, this is good, this is very good. And then on the seventh day, God said, God blessed it. Didn't say it was good, but blessed it and made it holy. It's a difference. And God said this is a day of blessing. We're to be a blessing to other people on this day. We're to be experiencing the blessing of relationship with each other on this day, and to be in blessing of a relationship with God on this day. So part of the blessing is being together, being in relationship with other people, renewing the time together, renewing our relationships with God and with one another. I'm also going to date myself, but how many of us remember Sunday afternoon dinners at Grandma's house? For no particular reason, right? There had to be no special occasion. You just went. Grandma wanted everybody to be together on Sunday afternoon to have a family meal together. The blessing of family, the blessing of community, the blessing of being in relationship. This is why Grandma always wanted to get out of church on time. It wasn't because of sermon, it was because there was a pot roast in the oven. And we call those sermons burnt pot roast sermons. The preacher preached too long, now my pot roast is burning. My roll, you know. And so that was a big thing. And so, you know, that was important. My parents have a second home out in Oakland, Maryland, which is also surrounded by many Amish farms. And on Sundays, when we're out there, Sundays, the community just shuts down on Sunday. And you'll see families walking to church, not only in the morning, but in the afternoon and the evening. And if they live too far away from the meeting house, they actually get in the horse and the buggy and they go. Now, they'll drive tractors. The Amish that I've met there say they're progressive Amish, and so they do drive tractors. They have internet websites, and they have businesses. And how many people think that the Amish are a lazy group of people? No, right? None of us do. They're hardworking people. But get this, they are working hard for 6 days. On that seventh day, they don't do any work. They stop from working, and nobody thinks they're lazy for doing it, do they? But somehow inside of us, we think if I stop working, if I take a day off, I'm being lazy or I'm not meeting somebody else's expectation. one Sunday afternoon, we were invited over to a family's home, an Amish family, and they had us over after church one Sunday, and we all met in there with their family, and this family, this father had five daughters, and I brought my two daughters, and then we were able to talk about raising daughters and talk about our faith, and we were sat around the table, and we ate this great dessert, drank coffee, and we sat there for 2 or 3 hours just talking, just being together with our families, just the blessing of being in relationship. See, because they just stop whatever they do. They cease from their work, and they see this as a day to be in blessing to each other and blessing to other people in their community. Isn't that what Jesus did on the Sabbath too, right? I mean, oftentimes the Pharisees were saying to Jesus, you're not keeping the Sabbath here. You know, what are you doing healing somebody on the Sabbath? What's gotten into you? You know the law. But Jesus was saying, no, if God brings somebody across my path on the Sabbath and I can bless them in some way, it's a day of blessing. It's a day to help somebody. It's a day to bless somebody. The other thing about the Sabbath, God said, was it's holy. That's the hard part, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to cease from work, and we all like the idea of it being a blessing, but God also said it's holy day. It's a day to be sanctified. It's a day to make holy, to set aside for God. And that's a little bit different, isn't it? You know, the ancient Hebrews, from the time of creation until the Exodus story, after they cross the Red Sea, I want you to think about this. The Hebrew people didn't have a place to worship. They didn't have a space to worship in. No tabernacle, no temple. And so how did they worship God for all those hundreds and hundreds of years? They worshiped God by sanctifying time, not space. They worship God by setting aside 24 hours from sundown to sundown the next day. And we said, this time is God's time. We are setting it aside for God. We worship God with our time. We sanctify God this with our time. We're into space as Americans, aren't we? We like having space. In fact, it's part of the pioneering spirit of the U.S. and those who came here to go and take territory and build something on it and go into it, you know, and build it. And it's very important in our culture to have space. And once we have the space, what do we do with it? What do? We clutter it up. Is that what somebody said? Clutter up? Yeah. We fill it, right? We put stuff into it. And I think even in our worship, how do we sanctify space? What have we done to sanctify this space? Look around us. What have we put here? What are the things that we have placed here to sanctify this space? We've got an altar. We've got paraments. We've got flowers. We've got candles. We've got a cross. We've got a baptismal font. Those are all important symbols of our faith. But I want to point out that these things do not sanctify this space. They don't sanctify the space. We do. Exactly. It is God's presence that sanctifies this space. It is our presence and our setting aside the time for God that sanctifies this space. This is holy ground because God is here. This is holy ground because we are here. It is holy ground because we have taken the time out of our busy schedules to be here. And when we do that, we're sanctifying the time, the space. I traveled around for 3 years, you know, and I got to sit where you sit. I traveled around and visited many churches throughout the state of Maryland. And I got to enter into many of them, and I heard a lot of sermons, heard a lot of choirs, saw a lot of things happen in a lot of churches, not only in the Methodist denomination, but also visited other churches in the area. And I found myself developing some habits. And the habit was I would sit in the church and I would think about what was happening and I would critique it. You know what? I wouldn't do it that way. What kind of sermon illustration is that? You know, why did they put the music there and not there? And so I found myself critiquing the service And when I'm critiquing, I'm not worshiping. The other thing I found myself doing was something else, this. I started looking at my watch all the time. Now, when I'm a preacher, I don't do that, do I? You guys know that, right? I noticed that the one clock that only one person can see in this whole building is back there, and it's me. But that's a good thing for you, hopefully. The other thing I found myself doing was, I don't have my bulletin, but I would take my bulletin, right? And I'd hold it, and I'd go, what's next? Okay, that's next. Okay. All right, we got through that. Okay, what's next? And I keep checking my bulletin all the time to see what was next. And so here's what I did, and this may sound a little crazy. And I think you could actually do that in this service. What I'm about to suggest, what I did, I think you can do that in this service. I stopped wearing a watch to church. And I didn't take a bulletin when I walked in the door. I took a bulletin on the way out, checked the announcements, all that stuff. But I would just be in worship. Because we're always wondering what's coming next, what's going to happen next, check my watch, when's this, you know. So I'm not worshiping when I'm doing that. I'm not experiencing the presence of God when I'm doing that. I'm not engaged in worship when those things are happening for me. And so I had to learn to take some of those things out of my routines so that I could actually be in the presence of God and be with other people. And be present for other people and be present with God. And I'll wrap this up just by illustrating that point one more time, and that is that, as you've heard me mention before, we've done trips with youth and we've taken them into the Adirondacks upstate New York and we've taken them out and backpacking, and we tell them that they have to take, you know, they have to let go all their cell phones and all their games and all their music, and you got to leave that at home. And we take them on high ropes courses, and we take them rock climbing, and we do all these wonderful things with them. And one of the rules on the trip for the 10 days we were out there was they would always come and they'd say, so what are we going to do next? What's for dinner? What's for lunch? Well, dried eggs. That was always the answer. No. But they were always asking a question, what's next? And they always wanted to know what was going on, what was going to happen. And so the response of the guides was very simple, and it was always the same. And the response was this, be here now. Be here now. So a kid would come up and say, so what are we going to do? When are we going to go rock climbing? And the guide would say, be here now. And of all the things we did that week with them, the scariest thing that we asked them to do was not rock climb, or climb up to the top of a peak above the tree line, or go on a high ropes course dangling in the air by just a rope. The scariest thing we ever asked them to do all week and that they feared the most was when we asked them to spend 24 hours alone by themselves from sundown to sundown the next day. First thing, they were scared of bears, but other than the bears... The thing that they said was, what are we going to do? That was the question. You're going to leave us alone for 24 hours? Are you crazy? What are we going to do? And the guide's response was, just be here now. Just be here now. And I think when God said, take a Sabbath, when God said, take a day off to cease from work and to be a blessing, I think God was also saying to us, be here now.